everybody. This is episode 375 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I am your host, Mark Huznes, and it's 4:17 in the morning, and I'm recording this Sunday, because I recorded an episode yesterday, which was Saturday, and I did not like that episode, so I threw it in the dumpster, or more accurately, I put it in the recycling bin, and then I was like, empty the recycling bin, and the recycling bin was like, you sure you want to do this? And I was like, of course. Actually, none of that happened because I didn't even save the file to begin with. But I decided to dump it because I wasn't happy with how it turned out. And so you're stuck with this piece of wonderful garbage. I mean, if it things you recycle are at least recyclable. They're better for the environment if you recycle them and don't throw them in the garbage, right? That's how things work. I don't know. So this is what you're getting. Unless, of course, by the end of this, I think it's garbage and just dump it as well. Who knows? I don't know. But I changed the way I use Twitter a few days ago. So for the longest time, the majority of my time using Twitter, I have, instead of directly following people, I would put people into lists, and then I would follow those lists. So I had an anime list, games list, board gaming list, comics, etc., art list, all that jazz. And I would follow those lists so that my main timeline wouldn't be too cluttered. And now I've come to the point where it's just like, I don't know if I'm doing it the right way. And in part because I initially was using Twitter like everyone else, just following people. And that has left me with plenty of people to interact with game-wise, because they followed me from the very beginning. But other topics aren't always as engaging from a follower standpoint. I have a small group of people who follow anime or follow this or that. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to change this because I'd like to talk with more people, meet some new people who share these similar interests. And so I've started following people. And it seems to be working. I guess maybe in following other people of a similar interest who share an interest, it puts you in that little section on the right of Twitter's site that is like, follow these people, or you might want to check out these people as well. Because I've been getting followers who I'm not following, so it's not like a follow back type of situation. But yeah, I will say that it's been pretty hectic. It's going to take some getting used to, but I'm enjoying the change so far. I will probably unfollow some of the people I've followed just because one of the things I don't like is people who retweet a lot. That really drives me nuts, especially if that's the majority of their content. So if somebody retweets over 50% of the time when they actually tweet, then I grow concerned as to whether or not I should even bother keeping them around, because I want to see what they have to say. I don't want to see what they like that other people say. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if that's the majority of their content, I would just follow the people they're retweeting and then unfollow them, which is the reason why I'm keeping people around at this point in time, is just because they might retweet someone who I find rather interesting, and then I could dump these retweeters. But yeah, that's been quite an interesting change. And then I found this story on Reddit that was just, I'm not going to go into it too much. I just want to bring it up because of the title that grabbed my interest. And this is, of course, from Not the Onion, because that is probably the best subreddit and is full of gems like this. But it comes from independent.co.uk, and the title is, "Don't put ground wasp nests on your vagina to tighten muscles," warns gynecologist. Subheader, The method can cause painful sex and an increased risk of contracting HIV. So I'm not going to read the article for y'all. You can check out a link in the post, but it basically goes on about how there are a lot of all-natural treatments for women who are looking to rejuvenate their vagina. And it goes on to talk about how people have become, or this has become a new trend where people get these, I think they're called oak galls, which are these deformities that are created on trees when wasps lay eggs in leaves, and people collect them and tell people that if you grind these up and create a paste with them and then put it on your vagina, around your vagina, it will tighten the muscles and just, you know, remove smell as well. But in actuality, this one doctor, I believe her name was Jen Gunter, she said that it leads to damaging the mucus, the protective mucus layer, and it can lead to contracting HIV, of course, painful sex, irritation overall. And my favorite thing, and this is the only thing I want to bring up about the post, is this quote that is just, it is a perfect quote because it's just basic common sense thing. Here's a pro tip. If something burns when you apply it to the vagina, it is generally bad for the vagina. And I think that's advice we can all agree and live by. And this doesn't just go for vaginas. This goes for everything. If you put something on your body, anywhere, and it burns, maybe don't do it. You know? It's probably a good idea. But this, and I guess maybe I should put a, should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode that maybe this is not one to listen to around kids, because there's a lot of vagina talk already. And it's going to get worse. This is why I want to bring up this disclaimer point, because if you have any kids listening right now and you weren't already turned off by the previous vagina talk, this one will definitely turn you off. And I want to bring this up because this is from Yahoo Answers. This is something I found years ago. It's, I think, an 8-year-old question at this point that I fell in love with when I saw, because of how ridiculous it was. But on top of that, there's another reason why I was so enamored with this, and you will know immediately from the initial question. So the question is, at least the title question is, sausage in my vagina? Question mark. So I think you already know why this piqued my interest. Pixelated sausage. Sausage in the vagina. Okay, so here we go. Okay, so my parents were having New Year's party, and I was in my room thinking about this boy I like. Well, needless to say, I became very wet and had to take off my panties, as they were the only ones I had that were clean and did not want to ruin them. Okay, so I'm laying in my room with my panties off and my hand was just not doing the job. Earlier in the day, I had went shopping with my mom and had remembered she bought some sausage for the cookout. I waited until no one was in the kitchen and made my way for the sausage. Got the sausage and back in my room. Mission accomplished. Okay, so the door is locked and I'm doing my thing. I get so into it, I guess I lost my grip because it was so greasy of a link and it just shot into my vagina. So now I have an 8-inch piece of summer sausage in me and I can't get out, and blamed it on the dog when my dad asked me if I had seen it. So of course, there's some grammatical issues with that. Made it difficult to read, especially when you got dyslexia. But yeah, so apparently this young lady was just bored, and then she was thinking about this boy she liked and got so into it, and she needed some help, and she got a summer sausage, as she likes to put it, and she got so into it that she just shot it right up into her vagina. And that's not a small sausage, 8 inches. That's a fairly meaty sausage, and the fact that she couldn't get it out, that, and the funny thing is that you would think, common sense, embarrassment aside, this is like something you would see in an American Pie movie. You would immediately want to go to the doctor, not Yahoo Answers looking for help. But the best answer was go to a doctor or try to get it out with your hands or push it out. People push a baby out with their vag. You should be able to push a sausage out. So yeah, that is the best help Yahoo Answers could give her. Sadly, there was never any updates. She never replied or updated her post. So the sausage may still be in her vagina. Who knows? But yeah, I found that amusing. Hopefully you did too. What a wonderful show this is becoming. I'm sure everyone is sticking around to hear the actual talk about things they care about, like video games. So before I hit the two games, I want to talk about a couple indie games that I got codes for that are quite different. But I decided to get Mario Kart 8 for the Switch, despite my best interests. And I'm actually, I want to test the speed of downloads as well, because I believe it's about a 6-point-something gigabyte download. And yeah, let's see how far it is. So it looks like it's about 20% complete based on the progress bar. And it's sitting at 15 minutes so far. So an hour for 6 gigs, an hour and change. It may end up being about an hour and a half. Not the best, not the worst. Way better than previous Nintendo things. Speaking of Nintendo, I really wish their My Nintendo program would offer something worth redeeming these points I have. Because now I have 292 gold coins and 582 silver or whatever the hell coins. And there's never anything worth getting. What's it? Do I want a Prima official game guide? Hell no. Do I want 20% off Luigi's Mansion? No, I don't. Give me it for free. Don't give me a discount on your game. Or give me a discount on Switch games. Give me something for the Switch. Give me a wallpaper. I don't know. Give me anything. Online access to Luigi Mansion Dark Moon Prima thing. I think that's what it's saying. This is a super... I'm enjoying recording this episode, which is more than I could say about the last one. I can't imagine it's actually any good. What's new? New digital content. What is there? Flip Studio 3D. I think you just made pictures with that. Why would I want to get a video? Are these actual animes? Animes in videos of anime? It looks like it, I guess. Yes, 3D anime. I don't want to buy it, though. That's a waste of my money. Or 3D themes, those are stupid, too. But anyway, I'm excited to play that because it'll be fun to play with my dad Mario Kart and get all that extra content and everything. You know what I didn't play on my Switch? ARMS. You want to know why I didn't play it? Oh, wait. Is it happening again this weekend? 6-2? Yeah. It's doing it again. I guess I have to re-download it, though. But I didn't play it last weekend because I hate the way Nintendo does their stupid demos with this time frame where it's like, okay, you can only play in these few days at these specific times, and if you don't play at those times, well, you're just screwed. So I have... Holy crap. I have 5 a.m. Pacific, so I have 7 a.m. Central Time or 1 p.m. Central Time. So I got to get on that and re-download that because I downloaded it and I looked at my little dashboard on my Switch and it was gone. So it must have just deleted itself after that initial test. I don't know. I have no idea how anything works. But I do know that this podcast is a wonderful episode. Anywho, so I played a few games, specifically Neighbor Horde and Skylar and Plux, Adventure on Clover Island. So I'll talk about Neighbor Horde first because that one's really simple and easy to get through. It's coming out June 6th. It's from a three-man indie studio. I got a code for the Xbox One. It's also coming out on PlayStation 4 and Steam. It will be regularly priced at $4.99 with a 20% off launch sale of $3.99 until June 19th. So, not an expensive game, and expectations should not be high given the price tag. And yeah, it's an okay game. It should be somewhat self-explanatory given the title, Neighbor Horde. It is a horde mode game where you are playing one of four characters. Initially, you can unlock more with tickets you earn by playing the game. And there are four different areas, three of which are locked until you unlock them with tickets you earn by playing the game. So you're playing as these animal-esque creatures. It's like a deer, a ram, a bunny, and a teddy bear-looking thing. And then you take on these various enemies that range from ninjas to giant feet, to ghosts, and giant lunch ladies, and aliens, and all these other crazy, kooky characters. And the color palette is very colorful. It's a very pastel-esque color palette with a lot of light greens and pinks and reddish oranges and light blues. It's very reminiscent of the Katamari games, if you play those and remember those. So very bright and vibrant colors. A very polygonal look as well. Sharp edges. Not anti-aliased. But it's an okay game. It feels very much so like a mobile game that has been put on consoles. I don't believe this is a mobile game that's been put on consoles, as far as I know. But it's a twin-stick shooter, gameplay-wise, in that you run around, you pick up various weapons, and you attack enemies until they stop. And then at the end of each day, you are given the option to pick between either a new weapon or a new power. It alternates between each successful wave, so powers range from something like... And it is a 1-4 player co-op game, couch co-op game. You can play it by yourself and then have three AIs, or play with other people and then have AIs filling the other people. There will always be four characters on screen. And when you are collected in your group, in close quarters with your group, you'll get bonuses like your health will regenerate and it could regenerate faster. You might get speed bonuses or attack power bonuses or something of the sort. And yeah, your powers can range from being quicker when you're outside of that little ring, or enemies will burn if they get inside that ring, etc. And the weapons are all kooky and weird, from Nerf guns, marshmallow shooters, potato guns, frisbees, cymbals as in you smash them together and make music, those kind of cymbals with a C, little swords, bats, photo cameras, whatnot, magnifying glasses, etc. It's, you know, tries to be cute and quirky. It's okay. The biggest problem with the game is that, one, if you're looking at it and you think it looks cute and something that you could play with a young kid, bad idea, because it is difficult. There is an easy mode, but it's still not the easiest of easy modes. And the biggest problem with the game is that when a lot of stuff starts happening on screen, it's really easy to lose sight of where your character is and where your teammates are and what the hell is going on. It's just easy to get confused with it because it just becomes an absolute mess with projectiles on screen and enemies on screen and your AI and things just going off like crazy. So yeah, it feels okay, the mechanics, but it's not that great. The thing is, it's a $5 game. $4 if you get it during the launch sale, but it's a $5 game. And given that, one's expectations shouldn't be too high. If you like horde mode games, and you especially are a fan of couch co-op games, it might be worth picking up. But it'll only, I feel like it'll only really give you a few hours of enjoyment, because unless you really want to unlock everything, it might take you a bit longer just out of necessity to unlock everything, given the way the system works, and unlocking tickets and everything, because you don't unlock tickets in easy mode, only on the normal mode. It might be a little bit longer, but it'll get old fast, and it kind of sucks that you don't, that you have to unlock levels with tickets, and that the tickets that the levels cost is rather high, I think. But yeah, it's okay. I like it more than Jumpstars, which was the game I talked about last time that was big on the couch co-op, in part because I can play this by myself. It works as a single player game in addition to being a couch co-op game. And on top of that, it's more fun as a couch co-op game, because I just did not find any enjoyment out of Jumpstars. But yeah, that is Neighbor Horde. So the other game I'm talking about is Skylar and Plux Adventure on Clover Island, which is available on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. I got a Steam code for it. It was on sale for $10, but I don't believe it's on sale anymore. And this is a 3D platformer reminiscent of, you know, Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, Super Mario 64, and Banjo, and the most recent one would be Yooka-Laylee. For me, it reminds me most of Ratchet and Clank, in part because, and this wasn't even something that made me think of it initially, but you are playing as a feline-esque character. You are a cat in this one, you were a Lombax in Ratchet and Clank. And you play as, I believe, Skylar is the cat who you play as. And then you have your little buddy who follows you around, Plux, who is an owl and incredibly annoying. And I don't like his voice acting, and I just wish he would just shut up, because he's annoying. Which I'll get to that in a little bit. But it is a really solid 3D platformer. It's very colorful. It's pretty for being, you know, a smaller budget game. And the mechanics are really solid. The jumping feels pretty good. The unlockables you get throughout the game while playing through, like a jetpack and this ability, this like orb thing that lets you slow down time, are all really fun mechanics that add to the gameplay. I was happy that I actually dumped yesterday's episode, because I didn't unlock the slow down mechanic yet. And that has really upped the game for me. It's made it a bit more enjoyable, because it just feels, I don't know, it feels good to slow down games most of the time. Sometimes games with a slowdown mechanic don't feel that great, but it feels good in Skylar and Plux. You know, it does a lot of things by the books, you know, paint by numbers, in that you have your snowy area, your deserty area, your ruinesque area, your forest area, and all that kind of jazz. But it looks good. It's very colorful, very vibrant, and it's very simple. The one thing I like about it too is that it is not too difficult, which could be a problem for some people if you're looking for a challenge. It is really easy, really, really easy, which to me is good, because along with the colorful visuals and the family-friendly story and silliness of it, it is a game that young kids could play, because it is very, very easy and easy to grasp, easy to get a hold of. It is also something that you could play and, you know, controller swap with a young kid, or they could just enjoy watching it because of how colorful it is. And the thing about it, though, is that there's not much to it. I've played it for about 2 hours. I feel like I'm maybe 2/3 of the way through it. Maybe not that much. So I feel like it would be a 4-hour game to complete and, you know, add a few more hours to complete it 100%, which isn't bad given that it's $15. I don't think that's a bad amount of playtime for the price. But the only thing you really do in the game is you go to these various areas as they open up. You collect these crystals, which you use to rescue caged animals. Not really animals, like these weird creatures. That doing so allows you to earn more hearts so that you can take more damage before dying and having to go back to a spawn point. And that's really it. You save these creatures, you progress in the linear path, and I've yet to run into any kind of boss, which is one of the letdowns of the game. And there are a few puzzles, but the puzzles aren't that difficult, which is nice again, because young kids would be able to figure them out, I would assume. Enemies are not, I was going to say few and far between, but there are enemies that just isn't much variety to them, and they're not too hard to deal with. I don't know. It's just a really solid 3D platformer, and given that I don't feel like there are that many of these around, and the ones I've played aren't that great, or you have ones like Yooka-Laylee that are substantially more money, it's worth picking up if you're a fan of the genre. I hate saying that, but it's true. The only thing I don't like is the story and the characters. There's no personality, no real charm to it. The writing tries to be funny and cute, but it more often than not fails to hit any of those notes. And there are times where it's clear that this is a small team and that they didn't have the funds or the resources to do things that other studios would. And when I say that, what I mean is that there are times where it will be what you would assume would be a cutscene, but instead you just hear two characters talking and the screen is black. They don't even have like a motion comic or anything going on. It is just a black screen, subtitles at the bottom, and the characters are having their conversation. And maybe that's a bug, but I feel like that's most definitely not a bug, and it's just a limit of the resources that they had, because that was really disappointing when it happened, because it was very kind of just, well, this is it was incredibly boring to just sit there and look at a black screen and hear these characters talk and just not really care about what they were saying either, and have no visual stimulation to maybe make up for that. But that's the one thing that the game lacks. So if that is something that you really want out of your game, then I would say you might want to look elsewhere, because it really is just, it's a game that isn't, it's fun to play, but it's not enjoyable in terms of the story of the characters. But I really have fun playing it, even though I know it's going to end quicker than I expected, or maybe just would like, because I am enjoying the actual gameplay and I really like the slowdown mechanic, which is adding more to puzzle-ish elements compared to the jetpack, which just really lets you jump higher and then glide. But I would definitely look into it if you like the 3D platformers, because it's solid and it's relatively cheap. And yeah, support the indies out there. But that's all I've played, other than the usual crap like Gems of War. I'm still sticking with Spellspire. I've completed the tower, including defeating the dragon twice. And now I'm just going through the dungeon, and basically I'm playing it until I complete it achievement-wise, and then I'll be done with it. It's a solid word game, but I think it lacks variety, and overall challenge. I just wish there was a bit more in terms of the way you could affect words, or just like I said before, I wish there was more variety in how you scored damage with the words, as opposed to just being based on the length of the word and the equipment you use, and not the letters you use and all that kind of jazz. So, like, I would like it if letters that are less commonly used in words were given more points, and that you would occasionally get letters that are bonuses and stuff like that. You know, like LetterQuest. But what are you going to do? Other than that, I'll be playing, of course, Mario Kart 8 later. And I'm thinking about picking up Injustice, because I think my dad might really enjoy the story. And I heard it can be played on very easy mode, which would be nice. Let's see where Mario Kart 8 is. It is now looking like it's maybe 33% done. So like a third done, which puts it at half hour. Ugh. So yeah, an hour and a half, I'm guessing. I don't know. But yeah, that was Skyland Plux. Check it out. I have a link in the post for both games and whatnot. Anyway, haven't watched any new anime or anything like that. I'm going to be doing that this week when I have a little extra time to do this and that. Excited to finally catch up with series. And then I feel like the season's coming to an end, so I'll catch up with everything just in time to be there as they end, which will be fine, except for the series I'm watching dubbed. That's the thing I've watched since the last episode, is the latest episode of Love Tyrant. God, that show is awful. It's just getting worse and more tropey and generic, and not doing more with the parody elements it could, which is sad, but not really that surprising. But I'm excited to catch up with My Hero Academia and all the other series. But yeah, I really need to catch up with My Hero Academia, because people are losing their minds about it, and I've really enjoyed what I watched the first 6 episodes, so I'm excited to watch more of that. Anywho, that will do it for today's episode of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Cruz-Nez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, My Anime List, Steam, and all the usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm The Kush 3. And on Switch, if you want to play Mario Kart 8 with me, it's a bunch of numbers. I don't friggin' know what it is, but it's on the website. You go over to the left side of the page, and you look at the staff, and you see my name, and you click it. Somewhere in there is my Switch code. Stupid effing friend codes they're still using. God almighty. But, yeah. That's where you can find me. Pretty much everywhere. The site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, other podcasts like Pixelated Radio and Pixelated Paranormal Podcasts, as well as the art I do, which, if you like, you can see it all over at pxsart.com, which will show you all the art, give you links to where you can pick up prints, or you can just go over to prints.pxsart.com and pick up a print or two that away. And if you'd like to support the site in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in a buck or two every month that away. Also, before I leave y'all, if you like this podcast, please go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to it, because that really does help. And, of course, you can always listen to the show wherever you may want to listen to it. I don't... What? But it is available on Stitcher Radio, Google Play Store, Player FM, SoundCloud, and all the usual places. I really need to update the SoundCloud. I haven't updated, like, the last 5 episodes, so it's a bit behind there. But nobody really cares. You know what does. Oh. Look, I start recording at like 4:17. It's almost 5 a.m. Hip hip hooray! But before I leave y'all, I want to plug a few friends of this Pixelated Sausage family. I do this all the time. You should be well aware of this by now. But if you like racing, definitely check out the Sports Car Unleashed podcast at scunleashed.com, which is co-hosted by Pixelated Radio co-host Rich Rolex DP Racer Hall. And if you like the anime, check out the Crazy Sunshine podcast, which is a nice casual podcast hosted by Jace and Steve, a couple of cool fellas who like to watch the anime and talk about it, as well as wrestling. And they also like to slack off. They really like to slack off so much. Oh my God. And then, of course, the O&D podcast hosted by Big Steven and whoever the hell the other person is who hosts it with them. But that will do it for today's episode. Once again, I hope you all have enjoyed it. Hope you all have had a wonderful week and a weekend, and have a lovely Sunday. Sunday. Bye. I wonder if I can actually see the percentage of the download. I can check the download size at home. I don't care. I want to know where it is right now. Give me. Wait, oh, 39%. All right. Download the pause of software that's being played. This is the information reason. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, this is so exciting. I'm sure you're glad that I'm still recording this. Big is the download file. Can you tell me that?